We're certainly glad you're tuned in on this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's Friday. It's May 25th. It's the beginning of Memorial Day weekend. So remember that those that have served our nation, those that have protected our freedom, encourage maybe that neighbor, that legionnaire, that person that you know that has fought in one of the wars or something that we can oftentimes take for granted, our freedoms. But people paid a price for that. So if you see somebody dressed in uniform this weekend, honor them, encourage them. Maybe give them a gift card, give them $20 and say, hey, treat yourself to a good lunch, or just honor and thank them for their years of service. And those that are married to these veterans, they are also an equal part of serving our country. So it's Memorial Day this coming Monday, and we hope you'll have a time of reflection, a time of fun with the family, a time of maybe devotion, of, like I said, caring for those that have served this nation, and you'll have an enjoyable weekend, hopefully after a great Sunday Sabbath service and Bible study, Sunday school class. And so it's always an enjoyable weekend. I know many of the children are all out of school now, and they're waiting for the pools to open up and to enjoy that time with the family. And many of you moms and dads are already feeling like, what are we going to do with little Junior now? We've like exhausted all the different things, the activities, the games, the places. And I know if you stop by our community calendar of events, there are a number of things, activities, vacation, Bible school programs that are in various churches. So stop by greatnewsradio.org and you can learn more. Well, today I'm going to learn a little more about my guest in the studio today, Kevin Wilson. He's the pastor of Confluence Church in Champaign, and I've known him from a recent Pinnacle Forum retreat that we both were in attendance about 3 weeks ago. And also, as we were talking just before this interview, that a year or two back at the Gibson City Bible Church, we met up at one of their missions conferences, and he had been supported by that church, maybe still supported. We'll find out a little more. So, Kevin, I'm just getting to know you, so maybe by way of introduction, share a little about your life, your story, where you grew up, how God called you to this area, and then we can talk about your special ministry and the ways you've seen God at work in your life.
Sure, Mark. My name is Kevin Wilson. I grew up in Evansville, Indiana. That's my hometown. It's about 3 hours south of Champaign-Urbana in southwestern Indiana. I went to Indiana University, so when I met my wife in college, she was going to the University of Illinois. Her father, his first question to me was not, how's your relationship with Jesus? It was not, how are you going to provide for my daughter? His question was, tell me what you think about Bob Knight.
Yes, and I do see you're wearing red this morning, so, you know, I don't see the orange and blue on you, so I don't think you've been totally won over yet.
I am a fan of the University of Illinois.
Good answer. Politically correct answer.
Yeah, especially now that it's not basketball season anymore.
Yes. So after he asked you that initial, what do you think of Bob Knight, I guess you passed the inspection and obviously married his daughter. And how long have you been married? I know you have 3 children with a 4th in the oven.
Yes. Yeah, we have one on the way in the next month or two, hopefully closer to 2 months. And we have 3 other children, Kale, Emma, and Seth. Kale's 7.
Now, do a little shout-out for them, because I'm sure they're going to be tuned in.
Hi, Caleb and Seth. You guys are awesome. I'm so excited to go swimming with you this week. Sholem Pool opens on Saturday. We're going to do some sprinklers. I'm sure this weekend it's going to be hot.
So those are your 2 boys?
2 boys, and Emma is a wonderful little girl. She's 5, and she keeps those boys in line, and there are going to be 3 boys in our family. So we're looking at stuff in our house right now. We're aware that most of it will be broken eventually by these 3 boys.
Now, you also have a very active dog named Molly. I don't know if she's a believer yet, because you were saying that she kind of sometimes thinks she's a much smaller dog than she is.
If it's possible for a dog to be a Christian, she is, because she hears quite a bit of worship music and prayer. You know, she's always with us. So God has used her to bring a lot of extra love in our family.
Now, how long have you been married to Esther?
First of all, I just want to say she is the strongest and most gracious woman I've ever met. She really is a godly woman, and God has used her in my life tremendously, both to show me what the love of Jesus looks like, but God has also used her to disciple me and work out my selfishness.
Well, I think in almost all marriages, that's revealed right away, because we're all about ourselves. And when you have a mate in the house 24 hours a day examining, critiquing, maybe criticizing, maybe kind of like rubbing those rough edges. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it sounds like she's full of grace and mercy and extends care and compassion.
Yeah. She prays for me. And we've been married for about 14 and a half years. And I'm convinced that Esther's prayer for me has really been one of the most influential things in my life.
Hey, before we talk about how you got called to this area and started this Confluence Church, and being a church planner, I think besides some of the other ministries that you've been involved in, where did you two meet and how did you know she was the one? Because obviously the father gave the nod that you're in, but when did Esther kind of start revealing that she had some affections towards you also?
We met during college at an InterVarsity Christian Fellowship conference. We both were leaders in our campus ministries. She was a leader in Greek InterVarsity at the University of Illinois, and I was a student leader at Indiana University. We went to a summer-long conference that actually still goes on. It's been going on since the 1950s, called the InterVarsity Leadership Institute up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. We met on a day of evangelism. We were actually going to Mackinac Island
to do a
big outreach there. And when I tell people that, they think, oh, that sounds so romantic. And it was romantic in many ways, but we just became friends. Actually, on the ferry going to Mackinac Island, one of my good friends, Jason, who's been a missionary in China for a while now, he noticed that Esther was getting splashed by water on the side of the ferry. And notice I said I didn't notice, but he noticed and he offered to change places with Esther. That was very nice of Jason, because that put Esther and I next to each other, and we started sharing.
Now,
and
did he have ulterior motives? Was he thinking, hey, maybe I'll patch these two up?
I don't think so. Jason's never told me that.
Okay.
I think at the time he was really just being selfless.
Doing the Christian thing.
Exactly. He was doing the Christian thing. And I'm sure as soon as I met Esther, some sort of fireworks went off for me. And I was I've been indebted to Jason ever since.
Yes. Like you said, married now 14 and a half years.
Yeah.
And three children with a fourth on the way.
Yeah.
But maybe even taking us a little back further into your life, what was that turning point where you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, you know, where you knew that it was because of the work he did on your behalf? It wasn't anything you could earn. You were sinful. You had fallen short at a young age. But at 17, I think, was a crucial point. So take us through some of that story.
My childhood, I tell people, in some ways, I was very religious. I thought that being a child of God, I wouldn't have even used those words, but I thought that relating to God was mostly about going to church, clocking in and out on Sunday. The more painful, the better. I thought if I went to...
I mean, like sitting still as a boy or...
Exactly. It was going to 8:30 services.
Okay.
That's what it was for me.
And dressing up, did your mom or parents have you have a little tie or anything?
Absolutely. I did several clip-on ties growing up.
It's brutal what we put kids through.
And I even... as a part of my school, I went to church and I helped out with worship sometimes. And my favorite memories are laughing with my friends when I could, you know, get some jokes in during church. But
been there, done that.
So I was very religious in some ways. I thought I had this huge bank account with God because I had, you know, I thought that I was doing all these great things.
Yeah, you were earning your way. You're showing up.
Oh,
you're regular in Sunday school.
Yeah, God's so lucky to have me. God's so happy with me.
And this is like 8, 9, 10, 11.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Okay.
I remember thinking those thoughts. Mm-hmm. So I was very religious in some ways, and I was very irreligious in other ways. Typically, Monday through Saturday, I didn't think about God, and I did my best to prove to people, my friends and my neighbors, that I was not a goody two-shoes.
Yeah. You just wanted to kind of fit in and...
Absolutely.
Like
and especially the way I related to people was through sports at the time. And so everything I did on the field or on the court was to show people that I was no goody two-shoes and I was just as bad as anybody else. And so I was successful I was a captain on several teams, and even in high school, successful at football, baseball, and wrestling, and I did my best to win, and I say now I even, you know, I tried to hurt people on the field. And what happened when I was in high school is that my dad started acting really funny, I thought. He started talking about Jesus, started reading his Bible, which I thought was extremely odd. And he was praying. He spent time praying and telling me about it. And this was in the early 90s, and I remember thinking, this is not good for our family.
Yes.
This is not going to be good for this reputation that I have built over the last 10 years. Doesn't my dad understand? I have worked hard to climb the ladder in this social structure.
I don't know if you've seen that sitcom. I don't watch it all the time, but I've T-voted in the past. It's called In the Middle.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this one high school kid, and it seems like, you know, everything his dad or mom does, it's like, man, you're ruining my reputation. And the sister, like when they're going to high school, she's ruining me, mom and dad. She's ruining my reputation because he's a football jock and so forth. But anyways,
absolutely.
I think many of our listeners can identify with some of your story or that narrative or that pride that most all of us have in various ways. In case you just tuned in, I have Kevin Wilson in the studio with me on this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. Kevin is a pastor of the Confluence Church in Champaign, and he is recently at a Pinnacle Forum 3-day conference that I attended, a little retreat that a number of guys from the area attended and grew deeper in our understanding of God's love for us and how to share that love with others and how to influence society. Kevin and Esther have also been supported by the Gibson City Bible Church, and so it was a year or two back that we met up at one of the conferences, not knowing till even this morning that, oh yeah, because we were talking about racquetball and some other similar life stories, and so it's great to have him in the studio. We've already did an early walk on the nature trail, and he got to see the tree fort, and I said he could bring his boys back someday and enjoy a little kayaking and some canoe time. But Kevin, again, so here you're at 17, your dad's starting to read the Bible, talking about prayer. It's like, wait a minute, what's he doing to our family here? He's getting really religious, or this is kind of like new for our experience that he's so connected in a personal way with God.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So I, in all my 17-year-old brilliance, I thought I'm going to talk some sense into him and save our family from embarrassment. Because I really thought to myself that there must be a verse in the Bible somewhere that says, in all things moderation, including God. And so I went to my dad and I basically said that. And
there is a verse like that. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I'll not be ruled by anything. Well, somewhat. It's just a similar moderation or not being ruled by different things that we can be involved in or engaged in different things, but it's when we start crossing the line and it becomes a god or an idol or our affections or our attentions are so caught up or wrapped up in it. But many things are permissible, but not all beneficial. Okay,
right.
Anyway, sorry.
So no problem. So I went to a teacher that I respected, and I remember asking him, Mr. Zerstadt, my sociology teacher. I kind of liked him because a lot of students thought he was weird. And it's because he talked about Jesus. But I trusted him. And so I went to him and I said, can you help me with what's going on with my dad? And Mr. Zerstadt, I'm still friends with him, actually. Mr. Zerstadt said to me, Kevin, do you think it's possible to take God too seriously? And that question changed my life because I started to think about and I have to give God the praise for this because I really believed in my heart. I wouldn't have articulated this, but I believed in loving God and loving people. But what God did from that point on is revealed to me that it's not possible to love him too much.
Mm-hmm.
And he revealed to me that even if people think you're crazy, as long as it's crazy because you're in love with God and you're in love with people, then who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened with my dad is that eventually he said to me, you know what, Kevin, I'll stop doing all this if you use the Bible to prove me wrong. And I have to say that, again, just to give God the glory, that I respected the Bible. I just didn't know what it said. I had never read it actively. And so that set me on this journey of reading God's word. I just started to devour it and hunger. What does it say? What does it say? And eventually God revealed himself to me that I was lost. And that it didn't matter all these times I had gone to 8:30 worship and it was painful and I thought I was doing all these great things for God, you know, doing a nice thing for a person here or there. What God revealed to me that not only did I not have a bank account, but I was totally bankrupt.
Yeah.
And what mattered was what I did with his son, Jesus, what I thought about him. And so I remember being in my childhood bedroom and experiencing God's love, that he loved me. First of all, that I was more lost than I ever knew, and that he loved me way more than I could ever imagine at the same time. And it was overwhelming. And I remember going to my dad and saying, you know, my dad asking me, so what do you think? Where are you, you know, in this process? And I remember saying to him, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian now. I'm your brother in Christ. And that set a chain of events in place in my life that I learned who my friends were really quickly. I also, I grew. I started reading the Bible every day. I learned that my life was not about sports. My identity was not about being popular or what people thought of me. I had a girlfriend of 4 years break up with me because of it. And God did wonderful things in that process, and I'm so thankful for now.
Well, I'm thinking we have about 5 minutes left, and I want to talk a little about being a church planner, but God obviously had various stepping stones, campus ministries, and how you worked alongside with Esther, reaching out and touching college kids. But I also want to talk a little about your church and what you're hoping to accomplish. So take us through a couple of those snapshots of the ministry and then being here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area with this new church, and how for the last year and a half you've been overseeing this Confluence Church here in the greater Champaign-Urbana area.
I would say an important part of our journey was it started in campus ministry. We, both Esther and I, in our leadership at University of Illinois and Indiana University, we fell in love with skeptics. We fell in love with people who had legitimate questions about Jesus, who deserved an answer to their questions. And so through the years, over the past 15 years or so, since Esther and I have, you know, been together and doing ministry together as a team that whole time, what God has done in us is he's opened our eyes to people, you know, that are considered, quote unquote, successful people in our culture, that have questions that are not following God. And so through the years, a part of that was going to seminary in Boston. God increased our compassion for skeptics, intellectuals, academics, you know, you name it. And so we did campus ministry for 7 years. And then God really, even 10 years ago, was stirring our hearts for Champaign-Urbana, and specifically people who are not plugged into any churches here. And we have since found out that through research that there are about 60% of the people in Champaign-Urbana that do not consider themselves church members at all. And especially in Southwest Champaign, which is where we're located, there are many people, especially young adults, that aren't plugged into church anywhere. And so that's a big part of our call and our acceptance of the call to come to Champaign to start this church.
So tell us a little about your church, the service times, how people can find out more information. Is there a website, a phone number, and what a Sunday service would look like in case they're thinking, hey, I'm a student at University of Illinois, and I have this best friend. He's a skeptic. He's an atheist. Would he feel comfortable attending this Sunday service? You do hold them on Sunday, correct?
We do, yeah. We have a Sunday gathering at our home, which I know is out of the comfort zone of some people, but it's a house church similar to what house churches were like in the New Testament. And so we live in Southwest Champaign near the intersection of Kirby and Staley. You can find directions on our website, which is confluencechurch.org. You could also call us. Our number is 217-398-5037. Our phone number again is area code 217-398-5037. Or the best way to reach us is through our website, which is confluencechurch.org, or you could email us at info@confluencechurch.org.
And that Confluence, C-O-N-F-L-U-E, C-O-N-F-L-U-E-N-C-E, so confluencechurch.org.
That's right. A lot of people ask, what is a confluence and why would you call a church that? And a confluence is a coming together of two or more rivers. And one of the reasons we named it that is because there are actually underground aquifers in the Champaign-Urbana area. A confluence is a place where two or more rivers come together. And we discovered in our research that Champaign-Urbana has some of the cleanest water in the country because of the underground aquifers. And it's also a confluence, a coming together of culture with the University of Illinois. It's a coming together of major cities, several major cities, St. Louis, Chicago, Indianapolis, Memphis, and then the greater Champaign-Urbana area. In many ways, we have seen comes together here in Champaign-Urbana. And so it's a great confluence of ideas, values, all kinds of people, various ethnicities come together. And that's really our heart in this church, is that we would come together and be unified on the essentials of Christ, that we would have Jesus in common. And people who have questions about Jesus, what we're really about is Jesus. We believe that Jesus brings abundant life to people. But on non-essential issues, secondary issues of the faith, that we allow for diversity, and we embrace that diversity.
So if you're a skeptic and you're tuned in today and you're scanning the dial and you're thinking, what is this all about? Pastor Kevin Wilson would love to talk with you. He'd love to have you a part of his Sunday service. It meets in your home?
Yep, Sunday mornings from 10 to 11:15 at our home. And we also do, at least our plan for the summer, is to do a party every week at somebody's place. We're big on relationships and informal gatherings, cookouts. I mean, we do small groups and service projects and stuff like that, too. But there are all kinds of informal ways to get plugged in at whatever your comfort level is.
Okay, that's confluencechurch.org. That's the website, or the phone number to call for more information is?
217-398-5037. 217-398-5037.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day, night, weekend, and Memorial Day.